And a reminder that A, we are recording, and B, if everyone mutes their phone unless they're speaking to help with any feedback noise, that would be greatly appreciated. So our first order of business is the approval of the minutes from last week, August 13th. Do we have a motion to accept those minutes? Don't everybody jump at once.
This is Brenda. I'll move them.
Thank you, Brenda. Is there a second?
Linda King Corbin, second.
Thank you, Linda. Is there any discussion, corrections? Okay, hearing none, is there anybody opposed to the approval of the minutes? Okay. Hearing none, then we will, the minutes are hereby approved for the August 13th meeting. Thank you.
Could I just ask, was that
sure.
Linda who seconded that?
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
okay, great, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Okay. Item number three, update on municipal water coordinators. Brenda, or is Bob on? Want to do an update on that?
Sure. Good afternoon, everybody. Let me just close down this multitasking that I'm doing here for a minute. And so with regards to the municipal water coordinators, through the five offices, we've collected 80 municipal contacts thus far. And that is with Region 4, not reported as of today, but according to the coordinator, they are amassing quite a list. They've started to come in relatively quickly, and I expect to have that information over the next several days. So we are seeing a spike in cooperation, if you will, with this request. So we're up to 80 as of right now.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. Okay. Item four. Discussion of agencies coordination management notification responsibilities at the next stage of drought. As everyone's aware, we did send a notice out to the governor's office and to the OPM secretary after our last meeting, letting them know that where we are and continuing reviewing our conditions and that there's possible action of moving to stage two. Part of that inclusion on the second page was how the communication and outreach activities would occur. Going to page 22 of our drought plan has those recommended mitigation actions and the public outreach education portions as well. Just as a quick recap from that letter, what we had in there was that the Office of the Governor, or if they assign another executive branch agency to do so, would provide the public notice with the messaging that we would provide as the interagency drought work group. States regional emergency management coordinators would notify all the municipal CEOs and the municipal water coordinators, and Department of Public Health would notify all the public water suppliers. So that was kind of just giving them, and then of course we attached the full stage two information to the governor's office. So they had that information. So that's kind of a quick little summary of outlining of where we would, you know, for the communication piece on that. Eric, was there anything else we needed to touch base on that area?
I think that we could just, we just need to identify, you know, agency responsibilities and who's doing what if and when we do make a move to advance to that next level of drought, but yeah, we want to keep everyone's responsibilities clear, I think.
Okay, and so that summary there kind of identified who is going to be doing each one of those pieces there. I just think also just to relay, as we talked about at our last meeting too, is that we don't want certain things getting out prior to other things. It's like the governor's office needs to come out first with any declaration on it, and then the messaging goes to our, you know, gets filtered down from there, so it's not coming from bottom up, if you will, that it's got to come from the governor's office or his designated, you know, executive branch agency to get that message started, and then we, you know, filter that out through everybody that way. Anyone have anything else on that topic? Okay. Then moving on to item five, additional changes and conditions. Since the summary document that we reviewed at the 8:13 meeting, in the packet that was sent out had the spreadsheet, the trigger spreadsheet showing stage two and stage three triggers and where we are at with that. I know we have a couple of people on here that have a couple of brief updates to do for that. And Eric, are you going to pull up their screens as they do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which order you want to go into, but possibly Doug, do you want to just go over briefly? I know you sent out earlier to at least Eric and I the 14-day forecast.
So I'll just go over very briefly. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. The long-range GFS model is showing about 3/4 of an inch of precipitation over the next 2 weeks. If that happens, it would be well below normal. Normal would be around 2 inches of precipitation. However, most of this precipitation would be the result of afternoon showers and thunderstorms with the heating of the day. Mainly, there are no big organized storms headed our way. The one caveat would be there are a couple of tropical systems in the Atlantic and the Caribbean right now. Their remnants may eventually reach us late next week. And there's a couple more waves coming off of Africa. So sooner or later, we could pick up some tropical activity that gives us some rainfall. But right now, it does look like it's going to be drier than normal for the next 2 weeks. That's the report.
Great. Thank you, Doug. Nicole, National Weather Service, do you have any update you wanted to give as well?
Yes, I do have a few graphics. Would it be possible for me to share my screen?
You sure can.
Is there anything I need to do? I guess.
I was waiting for you. Did you want me to share on your behalf? Or I think all you got to do is click the share button.
Oh, the share tray. Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it. Yep. Let's see. Okay, great. Thank you. There we go. Okay. So, just a quick update here on the rain that we've had for the past week. Are you seeing two images? Maybe let's see. But anyway,
yes, we are.
You are. Okay. Yeah, let me change this. We'll just do it this way. Okay. So this is the 7-day observed precipitation. And so it's what we've had since the last meeting. The rainfall in the northern half of Connecticut was the driest, with Litchfield, Hartford counties, Northern Tallinn having less than a half an inch of rain. And then we had a half inch to an inch here in Northeast Connecticut. And then Southern Connecticut really fared pretty well overall. The deeper greens are an inch to an inch and a half with a couple of spot higher totals. So we did have some beneficial rain. It was better than certainly what we had been, which was quite hot and dry, but having that cool down with some rain helped. So this is the percent of normal precipitation for that 7-day period. And I guess really the thing is for, you know, just that 7-day period, Northern Connecticut is still well below normal with that lesser rain. And it was a little bit above normal for that 7-day period in Southern Connecticut. So that was some good news there, but bad news to the north. And now taking a look at August month to date, just to kind of get some idea of where we may be headed for the end of the month here on rainfall percent of normal. you know, Fairfield's been in good shape and they'll stay in good shape. Northern Litchfield County is not too bad. But otherwise, you see there are a lot of this area is below 75% in normal. The darker brown is less than 50%. So there's some spot lower totals there. So really, the thing is, June was dry. July was pretty dry. And this was not a drought-busting rain that we've had. So it's kind of status quo in terms of the ongoing dryness. The temperature departure from normal for the month, thanks to the few days of the cool down, we went from a temperature departure from normal of 4 to 6 degrees above normal to more 2 to 4 degrees above normal. So that average daily temperature for the month has dipped a little bit. And then just, speak to the temperatures for the next 2 weeks, since Doug did address the precipitation, we're actually near normal today and tonight. Normal highs from the low 80s, normal lows low to mid 60s. However, we are expecting it to warm up. It's going to be warmer, more humid. By Friday, we're looking at temperatures a few degrees above normal, and that kind of continues to be the case. Temperatures above normal more often than not through the next 7 days, and also the 8 to 14 day outlook as well. And I was able to take a look at a pretty decent subset of the rainfall data that we get. I looked at stations that reported every day since August 1st to this morning to see about how much more rain we might need to avoid hitting the 3 months below 65% of normal. What we need to avoid moderate drought. The incipient drought for 2 month figures weren't actually quite as bad as the 3 months. So I focused on the 3 month figures because we needed more to avoid hitting those. So for Litchfield, Tolland, and Windham counties, we need about 1 more inch of rain before the month's out for the rainfall to be 65% or higher of normal. Hartford continues to be one of the driest parts in the counties in the state. And at this point needs more than 3 inches of rain before the end of the month for us to avoid hitting the 3 month. And that is starting to ripple down into the 4 month, 5 month. You can kind of see it with Hartford County just because, especially in the valley, it's been so dry. Fairfield, not applicable because with the rain they have now, they wouldn't hit any precip triggers for the drought plan. New Haven needs another half an inch. Middlesex going down in the Connecticut River Valley, still pretty dry there. We need 2 more inches of rain before the month's out. And New London needs another inch and a half. So not really good news here, especially based off the rainfall forecast. We have a very decent shot here at hitting 3 month triggers here when the month's out. And that is all I have. So I'll stop sharing.
Great. Thank you very much, Nicole. Any questions for Nicole on that information? Okay. Terrific. Thank you again, Nicole and Doug, for those. Steve, you have some information regarding the surface reservoirs?
Yes, I do. So one of our triggers is for reservoirs to be below 80%. We definitely hit that. So the average across the state is about 78.9% of normal, or 78.9% of from full capacity, and it's 93% from normal capacity. We also have a bunch of systems that are, down pretty far. So we have 8 systems that are between 80 and 89% of normal capacity. We have 2 systems that are now between 70 and 79% of capacity. And Southington Water is at 63% of their normal capacity. We had 3 additional drought stage declarations this week. One was the Bristol Water Department. They've moved into their first stage, as well as Manchester and UConn's main campus, which is a groundwater system, also declared their first drought stage and issued a press release to their students and staff to do voluntary conservation on campus and in the areas that are served by that water system. So it's We've definitely seen decreases in capacity over the last 2 weeks. I think that's about it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Any questions for Steve on that?
Good afternoon. This is Maria from Pure. I just want to add to this. For Aquarium Greenwich System, Greenwich Reservoir, the level was 66% of its capacity, so it was much lower. And Aquarium is the only regulated water company by Pura that is in the second stage of drought, which is 20% reduction in water use and 2 times a week irrigation schedule. So those impacted towns are Greenwich, Stamford, Darien, New Canaan, Newington, and Westport. This information is from last week, from August 14. And Aquarian does not anticipate to go to Trigger 3. So they think that they should be okay. And this drought condition will last until late fall.
Correct.
Terrific. Thank you. Sorry about that. My other phone was going on. terrific. Anyone have any additional information that they need to bring up on that, on any of this topic with the changes in conditions?
So I know Steve Anderson, I don't think he's on the line today. He had provided some brief updates on where we stand with crop moisture, Palmer Drought Index, and United States Drought Monitor. So those short-term indicators that we see, also veggie dry, I didn't mention veggie dry, those short-term indicators that we see measuring soil moisture and related indices, we saw a sharp decline last week, especially before that little bit of relief we had, the little rain that came through over the last 7 days helped a little bit with that. But prior to that, they were in sharp decline, and they are those numbers are lower than they were at our last meeting last Thursday on the 13th. So we're solidly into stage two, and in some cases even stage three, criteria for those short-term soil moisture indicators. I know DEP said because of the recent rain, fire danger had been allowed to relax a little bit to moderate for much of the state. So that's good news there. However, the U.S. Drought Monitor, I will share my screen on that. As of today, which every Thursday is a new release representing conditions as of Tuesday, so conditions as of the 18th. If I can find my, I have so many windows open here. There it is. This is the drought monitor map that was updated and released Thursday. You can see significant degradation in northern Connecticut, northern and eastern Connecticut. I will zoom into our state, just our state, and you can see that Fairfield County really doing much better than the rest of the state on the U.S. Drought Monitor map. They're really picking up the deficit now in Hartford County and in the very northern tier of the three eastern counties. So they've actually upgraded sections of the state to level 2, D2, which is severe drought on their scale, with much of the rest of the state being at D1, moderate drought. So that's the update for the drought monitor. And unless anyone has anything else, I think that covers our updates.
One other thing, Eric, you noticed that the D1 moderate drought was extended down to include all of New London County as well.
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else have any other updates before we move on to the next step? Okay, then we will move on to six. Eric, can you put up that Excel spreadsheet?
Sure.
Thank you. So we're at number six, review of the state drought plan and recommended course of action. Eric's going to pop up that Excel spreadsheet with the stage two triggers and stage three triggers here. And then again, on page 22 of our drought plan has the defining criteria and the recommended mitigation actions that we discussed earlier on that. So we are up for, you know, discussion of where we are at in these stages. At the last meeting, we did not move to stage two, but we're looking at possibility of the potential that this week we may be moving certain counties to stage two versus the entire state. So, Eric, do you want to just maybe review the changes kind of from last week to this week on it? And I know you've added in the stage three, which we didn't have last week, so that's helpful of which ones have jumped already, you know, to some of those levels.
Yeah, I think the biggest degradations have really been because our precipitation, because, you know, the plan really looks at monthly statistics for these top, really the top four here, or I guess the top four, except reservoirs, we're now getting weekly data. So maybe at least the top three, we look at monthly statistics. So we did see, you know, I reviewed precipitation again. I think we are, as of the end of July data, this could have been misconstrued last time we met, but I do think we reached stage three precipitation deficit for Hartford, Litchfield, and Middlesex. Other areas are doing better, and then New London, Tallinn, and Wyndham over at stage two. Groundwater and stream flow, we really don't have much of an update. Those tend to be slower to respond, so we haven't really changed much from a week ago. The other big ones that changed were the short-term soil moisture indicators, so veggie dry, crop moisture index, Palmer drought severity, all saw decline. So we're solidly in stage two, if not stage three, for most of our counties in those indicators. Fire danger is the one indicator that has improved from last week. But of course, fire danger really is our flashiest indicator. It can change day to day based on weather conditions at the moment. So, you know, it's a tough one to look at for long term. And then, of course, we just reviewed the U.S. Drought Monitor, where we saw degradation to D2 in the northern counties, in the top tier of the state, and solidly D0 or D1 for much of the rest of the state, with the exception of Fairfield County.
Thank you, Eric.
Eric, this is Doug Hoskins. Is Helene on? I didn't see her. Helene's email. I just wanted to expand
on.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I just thought I would go into a little bit more detail, Helene, if you want to do that. You had said it wouldn't, you're not expecting it to go higher anytime, the fire danger, in the next few days. So I just wanted to see if that, any update on that.
Sure. When I actually said that on Tuesday, I knew that before today's meeting, it would not go up to moderate, but it is quite likely that those four counties will go to moderate tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
But I don't see anything going to, we're not close enough to go to high in the west. So it will be, the whole state will probably be at moderate tomorrow, or if for some reason it doesn't happen tomorrow, it would happen over the weekend.
I will say one piece of positive news is that, you know, especially the eastern counties, Wyndham and New London, last week when we met, had been solidly in a short-term flash drought situation where we went through at least a couple significant heat waves with absolutely zero or a trace of precipitation, which really left the soil column really bone dry. And there was some fear that that would worsen and continue. Luckily, we did get a little bit of precipitation in those areas to at least alleviate the short-term effects of the drought, but we'll reiterate that we continue to trend downward in terms of our long-term deficits. And we're seeing those long-term indicators slowly catch up to that.
Eric, Doug Hoskins again. I really like the spreadsheet layout here, very helpful. And this is the first time I've seen it. And I don't see a legend, maybe I'm missing it, but when there's an NA, I suppose that's non-applicable. And
yeah,
what does that mean?
That's a great question, Doug. I had just wrote NA in cases where it hadn't met stage two. Okay. So if you see NA, it means it does not meet the stage two trigger. Now, some of these are, you know, that you could use judgment here. Some of them are on the edge, right? So for like Veggie Dry, for instance, there's thousands of points collected across the state. And each county actually has thousands of hundreds, if not thousands of data points for that particular indice. And parts of counties are worse than other parts of counties. So, for example, you know, northern Tallinn County is a lot worse than southern Tallinn County. And the same thing with basically the same thing with Hartford and Windham. So, you know, we try to break our regions. We have historically broken our regions into counties. That has worked well in the past, but we are seeing significant differences even across counties themselves, within individual counties themselves, rather. So we got to be aware of that as well.
Okay, are there other questions on this chart in the information in there? Before we go on to our recommended course of action. Okay, so going on to then the recommended course of action of moving, you know, do we look at moving the state to or counties, probably not Fairfield, by the looks of it, to a stage two on here. That's kind of part of, you know, the question that's out there and looking for our decision here of moving things to, you know, the next step in our drought plan. So comments on that?
Hello, this is Doug Lewacki.
Yep, go ahead, Doug.
The comment I would have is that I have seen the pattern has been sticking for the past couple of weeks where Southern Connecticut gets a little bit more rain than Northern Connecticut. And although the long-range forecast doesn't have this pattern holding, that forecast is based on, you know, afternoon showers and thunderstorms, so they're going to be hit or miss. And typically, the driest areas precipitation-wise begin to form a shadow in this situation where if they get dry enough, the diurnal shower and thunderstorm activity melts away as it gets into those areas. It can't tap any moisture off the ground. So those showers and thunderstorms tend to be a little bit lighter in the drier areas. So it might become self-sustaining based on the dryness in northern Connecticut. So I think northern Connecticut may fare a little bit worse over the next couple of weeks than southern Connecticut.
Thank you for that. Other comments, thoughts? Because what we'll wind up doing is going through each of the agencies and seeing what their individual response is of moving to stage two. So I want to make sure everyone's got their chance to make their comments, everything before the whole group, before we go through and do that.
Well, Martin, I think that's a good point. You know, I'd hate to go agency by agency without having a more detailed discussion here among all of us. So I'll speak up and say that, you know, for reservoirs, right, which is our work,
yeah,
it looks fine, right? But there, we're worried about systems. Right? As Steve Harkey had mentioned, that there's been an increase over the last 10 days in the number of systems that have reported to us. you know, our reservoirs are, you know, the two numbers that he reported, you know, 93% of normal. It is concerning. And I would think that we should look carefully at the more northern counties, right? So you have, you got Tolland and Windham, Hartford and Litchfield, right? That's what sort of catches my eye here, wondering what others think. You know, if we're going to make a move, I think it's probably appropriate at this point. I wouldn't want to wait another week or two for it to get worse. A lot of, you know, I think a lot of people recognize that it's dry. So anyway, that's just my initial thoughts. I'd love to just hear thoughts from others, you know, about what they're thinking.
Yeah, Doug Hoskins, I'm with you on that. Looking at the northern counties, basically, I mirror your opinion. I think we would be remiss not to increase at this point to a stage two, and that's incipient drought. So what that means is it's beginning. I mean, on the face of it, and I think we're well into the beginning stages of a drought. Now that's just a gut, you know, vocabulary check, and then viewing sort of the gestalt of the spreadsheet, I don't see how we can't go to stage two.
Yeah, this is Martin. I agree with both you and Lori. Thanks for, you know, starting this out and everything. You know, looking at the chart, you know, as you said, those northern counties are definitely major triggers that we see here. On it, doing that, not to say that, you know, we're not possibly, you know, in that incipient drought, you know, coming up in the, you know, the lower half of the state as well, you know, minus, you know, Fairfield there. So I am in agreement there. And it will be, you know, looking at, you know, definitely, you know, be in agreement with stage two for that northern county, definitely. And then it's whether or not, you know, we look at anything for the lower part of the county, as well at this point, or hold off on that piece till, you know, and see what happens, or do we do, you know, the entire state except for Fairfield going to stage two? I think those are some of the, you know, the questions, and Lori, as you're bringing up, you know, the major concern seems to be those four northern counties. So, but other agencies, other discussion?
This is Brenda Bergeron.
Brenda, go ahead.
Yes, just quickly, I'm glad to hear Lori and Doug's opinion, and I think that I'm thinking of it from two perspectives. One is hearing that the next 2 weeks does not appear to bring rain makes me concerned that we better get the messaging out there, because even for people that are in the lower parts of those counties, if they're traveling to the upper part and they're smoking a cigarette or doing something else and not realizing that conditions are as dry as they are, I'm concerned that we could end up with an emergency situation. So I support the concept of perhaps stage two for those upper counties.
And this is Maria from Pura.
Go ahead.
I agree with you, although regulated by Pura Water Companies, except Aquarian, they did not report any drought situation, but I agree 100% with you that we should go to stage two.
Okay, is there agriculture? You want to chime in on anything? I'm not sure. Actually, I don't think Steve's on, right? Yeah, no.
I don't think we have anyone from agriculture on today. That's right.
Yeah, I just looked on the list too. So thanks, Eric, on that. So hearing from everybody, it sounds like the plan would be stage two for Hartford, Litchfield, Tolland, Windham counties. Am I hearing all that correctly?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
So we should do a would someone make a motion to that effect that we elevate to stage two the Hartford, Litchfield, Tallinn, and Windham counties?
This is Doug. I make a motion to elevate stage two for the northern counties.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you. Any discussion on that?
Sort of focusing, mirroring on what Brenda was saying, don't let the southern tier out easy and put them on notice on any kind of messaging. And again, I'll say that this is crucial, how we put together any kind of press release, what kind of messaging is inherent in that, as far as confusing the public when they see utility staging, utility drought messaging, as opposed to state. And I think we're going to have to really park this out and finesse it so that we try and avoid. I know it's going to be hard to do so totally, but try and avoid as much confusion from the public as possible on this. Speaking from someone who gets MDC water, that's always the example. You know, MDC is water rich, and why is the state going into drought messaging stage two for Hartford County, which is a lot of MDC? So I saw somebody out today in my neighborhood washing off their plastic fence. And I almost said something, but, they're just not getting the message yet because they're an NBC customer.
And I think, Doug, your point's well taken. And it's just the voice of our experiences in the past, right, where NBC would wait for the governor's press release and then issue their own press release moments afterward to say something very different, right? And say that we got plenty of water, just go ahead and use it all.
Yeah.
And they might do that again. They certainly know that we're meeting this afternoon. All the big utilities were just on a webinar that we provided. So they certainly know that we might be making this determination. Martin, it's something that we work with our press people to get out to their press people before this gets out to try to coordinate with them so that they don't send out this mixed message. You know, we can't tell them what to do, certainly, but we can certainly ask them to coordinate with us, because this mixed messaging only hurts people. It doesn't send the right message to people. Like, what should I do? You know, what should I? People call us, say, what should I do? The governor's saying this, and NBC is saying that. What does that really mean? And we don't want that to happen. So maybe our press people, our communications people, could talk to the major utilities about messaging.
Nope, I think that's great, Lori. Thank you. And I think that, no communication should go out from any agency until something is done, from the governor's office.
Right.
Or
exactly.
If they authorize, OPM to send it out, that'll be there. And
yep.
I will work with getting something drafted, share it, internally here so we can get something over to the governor's office, similar to, the other notifications, advisories that we've given them, to let them know with, and find out, do they want to be making that, announcement? Do they want, OPM to do it, or, another executive agency on that? So we'll get that information once that, is able to be ready to be gone, sent out. I think that's great about, getting, our press people involved and everything, and how this is going to be handled, getting that to the utility companies. So, that all that messaging is so important. So I appreciate those comments and those suggestions.
Great. I look forward to seeing a draft. This is Doug.
Yes, which we've already started working on some basic stuff, but we've got more to add to it now that we're, kind of have more direction there. So we'll hopefully have something out, you know, shortly after the meeting later today, you know, to the group here so we can start, you know, looking and getting that, you know, information out for that. So any other discussion on that? Obviously, we have a motion on the floor. Any further discussion?
Martin, quick question on timing. So your draft, send it out to us. It remains draft, and then the decision is made as to who sends it. Certainly, it's the governor's office making final decisions on everything. Probably won't go out till tomorrow, I would imagine, if it does go out.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, because even after, like, last week's meeting, by the time I got in the advisory, it was after 5 o'clock.
Right.
Last week, so just to give them, you know, notification, depends how quick we can get it all turned around today to get to them and a decision, you know, from them of who's going to announce this and everything else. I mean, the governor has his standard thing. I think he's doing his press thing with the COVID stuff at 4 o'clock, so obviously we will not make, you know, that information there for that. We'll see how they want to handle that. And as soon as I have that direction, I'll make sure that, you know, our group is aware of that as well.
Excellent. Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. With that, if is there anyone opposed to moving on the motion of moving the upper counties to stage two? Okay, hearing no opposition, the motion will carry, and I apologize for kind of doing that backwards, but it's kind of easier to find out if there's any opposition than any the other way, since it's kind of hard to see or hear everybody to vote. So that motion has passed, and we will work on those next steps for the course of action according to the plan. With that, item seven, items for next meeting are scheduled. I mean, we are scheduled. We had set every 2 weeks for a meeting schedule. Obviously, we were off this period because of the storm and everything else. With this schedule of meeting every 2 weeks, the next one would be on Thursday the 3rd. If that, you know, looking, unless people feel, you know, that we should meet next week, you know, things significantly change looking at weather forecasts, everything else with that 2 week. It seems like we're in the same, you know, framework to wait for the 2 weeks, but, you know, does anyone have any other thoughts on that?
Martin, if I could, sure. I don't know if we want to spend a little bit of time talking about the stage two mitigation actions that,
sure.
that Eric has.
Thanks, Lori. I was just about to recommend that.
Yeah,
perfect.
Thank you.
Nope.
Because, yeah, because I was just starting to think about, okay, because my commissioner is going to ask me, what does stage two mean? What are you supposed to do now? Right. And that's what all of this is, right? So maybe we should go down each one of these. Maybe, Eric, I don't know what your thoughts are about, you know, making sure we're doing what we need to do.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, the first thing on the list is the municipal water coordinators, alerting them. Brenda informed us earlier that we have 80 now designated statewide, and that number's growing. I think, unfortunately, we don't have a designee for every town yet, but for those that we do have, we should assemble that the contact information, probably email addresses being the preferred method, into one distribution list. And once our messaging is prepared, have that ready to go out to them, as well as municipal CEOs, perhaps. I don't know who wants to be, you know, the lead on that messaging to the water coordinators. Does Demis want to continue on that, or, you know, should that be from another agency? Kind of need to pinpoint who's going to do what.
I think you guys should be, as the experts, should write the messaging, but whatever message you want us to send out, the regional coordinators have that system of being able to send it out easily. So
okay.
You give us the message and we'll push it out.
Okay, great.
Great.
And same thing, we also have to consider information coming back to us, right? So once we start engaging these municipal water coordinators, we are going to ask for their, you know, any updates as they see fit. And so, Brenda, does it make sense for them to send their updates back up the chain through the regional coordinators, or do you envision something differently?
I could envision that you guys would identify a point of contact. I can hear myself. You guys identify a point of contact that has that subject matter expertise, and the message will go out to the water coordinators plus their CEOs and everything through us. But I would have the water coordinators contact somebody who will be able to understand the actual issues, and they can CC the regional coordinators just to keep them in the loop. Bob, are you still on? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I just rejoined. I had to take a phone call from the town. But, yeah, so the notification tree here, the water coordinators, and then, as Brenda said, the CEOs, and we would notify the emergency management directors as well. Just that this is what's going on. Any external messaging that goes out would go to the EMDs as well.
Okay.
And then I caught the tail end of this. As far as the follow-up communications, is that what you were talking about?
It would make sense maybe that there be a point of contact, a water subject matter expert point of contact, for the water coordinators to provide their information to and
yep.
CC you guys, because
yes.
That way there's a double redundancy too, which will make it easier so nobody slips through the cracks.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, great. It's probably going to end up being OPM, someone, probably Bruce or I, will probably be that primary contact, the conduit back for them to send information back to, and then with the CC to the regional coordinators. So that sounds like a plan then.
And Eric, with regards to the, and Brenda, please weigh in too, in regards to the water coordinators, you know, obviously the regional offices have collected the data, and I have my office putting all of the spreadsheet together. It's a multi-tab spreadsheet for each of the regions. Is that information that you want so that you can directly communicate with those water coordinators, or do you want that to come through our office? And Brenda, I'm going to defer to you on whether what you think on that. Brenda,
I'll speak up. I'll say that it'd be good information for us to have to catalog, but if the regional coordinators are going to be the lead on reaching out, then, you know, we'll let them worry about that first. But eventually, yeah, once the full, once the state's full in terms of designations, we get a designation for each town, then we can forward all that information to OPM so we can keep that where it needs to be.
Yeah, and Brenda, what's your opinion on that? I'm just trying to have a conversation here. So what do you think?
I think it's smart to have it in both places if possible. I think OPM has the better handle on the actual water issues.
Mm-hmm.
We could even set up at some point what we've done in the past with Demis is, for example, if there's a question on hazard mitigation, we have an email that goes to certain people that can review it so that it doesn't get lost. My only concern from the regional coordinator perspective is we're in COVID, we have
right.
a tropical storm
right.
for stuff coming up, and I don't want things, I think we're really good at getting the message out, but it may be difficult for us to do a lot of coordination at this point only because we have so many other disasters and potential disasters in the regional offices right now. Nothing personal, Bob.
No, it's understood. That's why I wanted you to weigh in, too. I think that is that's a very relevant factor in this process. And I just want to talk quick with Eric to make sure that when we have compiled this list, I will share it with OPM so that you do have all that information. I mean, obviously, we're collecting it basically for OPM. So
I think what we're going to end up doing is, you know, because we're going to have so many of these municipal coordinators, we're going to have to develop, and when I say we, I mean probably me, going to have to develop a impact reporter tool of sorts so that we're not inundated with emails coming in on top of our regular job responsibilities, but all these reports can come into one place, be processed, and then we can access those as needed. Okay, so that's great. I think we have a plan for that. Could we just talk about the development of messaging and, you know, what do we want to get out there at this point? You know, given that the majority of public water systems are doing okay still, although they're trending down, they are still okay. What do we want to ask for in terms of, you know, do we want to request conservation? And if so, do we want to focus primarily on outdoor watering or conservation across the board? What are some thoughts as in terms of messaging for that, as well as, you know, the other ancillary risks like fire danger and so forth?
So this is Laurie. This is what I would think. So since the call is out to the northern counties, we would have to take a careful look at who we're messaging what to. Sort of splits up these utilities a bit. But I think the general message, I've been chatting with my deputy commissioner about this, the general message maybe across the state, we can talk about this, but should be of a general voluntary conservation, and maybe with a more careful looking at irrigation 2 days, maybe a voluntary 2 day a week irrigation for the northern four counties. Maybe that's a bit much, but again, to me, voluntary is asking for people to pay attention. Voluntary is people to not overwater, not overuse, not wash their fences. You know, now's the time to conserve. If we go down to that, yeah, that's what I would say at this point. Some of our water utilities are not going to be so thrilled, but that's what I think we take care of the communications ahead of time. You know, Martin, if they hear from the governor's office directly that they need to sort of step in line, you know, I think that they will listen, I hope. And some of them might say, you know, we don't have a severe issue. But I think the more northern ones are not, you know, as Steve mentioned, they are heading down in their numbers, and it's voluntary, I think, at this point. And again, each one of them have their own individual drought trigger plan. So that's why some of them will push back. They'll say, look, you know, I'm fine because I have, you know, 5,000 days of storage. You know, leave me alone, state of Connecticut. You know, that's why some of them push back, you know, frankly. That's why MDC will push back. They have large reservoirs. You know, they don't hit that first trigger for a while. And others are similar. Some of them don't have the same number of days storage. So, but overall, the message is the same in my mind. And I only have a few minutes. I have to jump on a webinar for 3 o'clock. So, Steve, you could definitely continue on this discussion. But my thought would be, for the water utilities in that more northern, those northern counties, would be to call for voluntary conservation. That's my thought.
Yeah, no, thanks, Laurie. That's great. And I don't know this, so I apologize, and so I'm going to ask. So is there any provisions, whether in statutes, anything else, as these water utilities, as, you know, statewide, you know, where some areas may be, you know, drying up, as they say, provisions for that water being diverted to other locations, you know, whether obviously not through the ground and everything else, but that way. Does that make sense?
Do you mean that this happened back in 2016, the MDC had plenty of water, kept saying we don't need to conserve, but New Britain, who they are interconnected with, needed additional water, and they started purchasing water from the MDC, and then MDC started to pay attention because it started to impact their safe yield and their days of supply. So it's not like they sit there in isolation. Many of these are, it's a good point, many of these are interconnected where they could help each other out in the time of need, and that's what started to happen in 2016. So, you know, our point to MDC would be everybody needs to conserve because you are a regional supplier. You,
right.
You know, they didn't like it, but they have to sell 10 million gallons a day to New Britain. So.
Okay, that answers what I was looking for. So,
yep.
And if there is a, there is some mechanisms there, you know, that also, you know, remind them of and everything that was. Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. I do have to jump off, so
okay,
I apologize.
Thank you, Lori. We'll
thank you.
Watch for some emails later.
Will do. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, this is Doug Lewacki. I think the message should also have a stated goal in it, such as the goal of what we're asking you to do is to save 10% of water. You know, not be too specific, but just have a stated goal within the message. What are we intending to do with this statement? We're intending to save a little bit of conserve 10%. You know, something along those lines. What does everybody think about that?
This is Eric. I would agree, Doug. However, I would suggest that we focus our request on outdoor water only. I would suggest that we do not ask at this time for people to conserve indoor water use any more than they already do, and that we limit it to outdoor use only, that we ask for voluntary conservation on irrigation.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, too. That makes the most sense of, you know, that outdoor use, you know, for the conservation. Okay. Eric, you want to go through? I'm not sure what else we've got on that list you've got up that we've got to cover.
Let me go back to it. Hang on. So... a lot of these things on the lists are things that we do naturally anyway. But again, and there's some redundancy as well. But again, you know, alerting municipal water coordinators really is coordinating with them, and as well as local health directors and water suppliers. So each agency has a role there. Obviously, DPH is in tune with the water suppliers and health directors. Same thing with technical assistance. This really would be something that if we got asked for that is really a DPH, that's their suit. Sounds like someone is unmuted that probably should be muted. And then, again, surveying local water coordinators, that's going along with the coordination. And, you know, that's really our recommendation. Again, these are recommendations. They're not requirements per se of the plan. We can mold these to the situation as we see fit. So we have to always remember that. Again, they're simply there as a guide. This is a guidebook of how to handle a situation on paper. And as we know, every situation is different. Then we go down to public outreach and education. This is something that this bullet here is something that we historically have really not done a good job with, which is actually working with the news media, the TV media, and the forecasters to make sure they're getting the actual message we want out. Any thoughts on that?
This is Doug Hoskins. Maybe we create a consortium of sorts of all our agency press people, communications staff to coordinate that effort. I don't know. I can't think of any particular agency that should be the lead on that, but maybe a group effort on the part of our communications people.
I like that suggestion.
And Eric, I think one of the other things that would be great to include when we get, you know, press stuff going out is, I know we discussed it at the last meeting too, Deep's chart there of the five things of where the levels are and everything would be good to include with this. So people, you know, especially press and everyone else is seeing the stages and everything. That might be a good, you know, graphic piece to get out, you know, on this with the messaging.
Absolutely. And we have that, we have those infographics on standby. I did work with Ali Hibbard at DEP has been doing a great job making graphics and been working with her. So we do have some graphics ready to go onto the website. So, and then of course the news media can use those if they so wish.
This is Brenda. I have a suggestion using the NIMS concept of ESF-15, since they're all working together pretty effectively for the COVID response. You might want to have a subgroup of the PIOs that work together on the messaging. And then, you know, if they get some of this information ahead of time, they'll be able to answer any questions that come up. And perhaps the coordination will be a little more standardized across the board.
Okay. Brenda, would you mind maybe sending a follow-up email with some more information on that suggestion?
Yes. What I'll do is, so Oz Harris has been the point of contact for DPH, and Eric Scoville has been working from the Demis side. So I will reach out to them and I'll CC you on it, Eric, and then we can maybe they can pull together a subgroup.
Okay.
That'd be great. Thanks, Brenda.
You're welcome.
All right. Water conservation tips. Really, this is just pulling together information that already exists on DPH's website or on our drought website. It's all linked there in some fashion. So, you know, including links to those resources in any public announcement that goes out. We should remember to do that. Going down to data collection, monitoring, preparedness. Just take a look through these together. Activities of neighboring states. I will say not much change from last week. Massachusetts is in a statewide stage two. They have a 4-stage drought plan. We have a 5-stage. They are in stage two of theirs, which like we're about to do, they have gone out and requested reductions in outdoor watering and so forth. Awareness of fire danger, things like that. Rhode Island has not taken any action. Rhode Island met last week. They decided to hold off on any action. They're meeting again early September to review. New York, their northern tier, they have a handful of drought regions in the state. Their north country is in a drought watch, I believe is the term. The rest of the state is out of any drought designation there. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Well drilling. I remember we added a contact from Department of Consumer Protection. So we'll want to stay in touch with DCP on well drilling activities for sure. WebEOC, now Brenda, that's something I was going to follow up with you on after this call, but I don't know if it's something worth discussing as a group. You know, the potential use of WebEOC at these early stages to monitor activities, or is that really not appropriate at this point?
I don't think it's inappropriate or inappropriate at all. I think we could set up a we can talk to Mike Caplet and who's kind of been leading the charge on the, and Bob Scatta on WebEOC, and find out if we could just set up an event, an incident, and then people can record things in that incident.
All right. Yeah. That's great because
this is Steve. So we've had conversations about this internally, about wanting to reach out to them to set up an incident for drought. We talked about it this morning. Cause there is a public water system, like dashboard where it does include drought status and capacity status. So it is available, but you know, we'd like to do it under the event of a drought. Because right now I can look at it, it's under COVID-19 event.
Okay, great. I think we should do that. That was one of the things running through the back of my mind when I was talking with Bob Kenny earlier in the call about the municipal water coordinators and how to handle the mass amounts of information that come through all those coordinators or could come through if conditions continue to worsen. So WebEOC seems like a great platform for that is already in place. So if we can use that, that's great. This really probably falls under DEP in terms of reviewing plans for managing forest fires and what to do there. Any messaging relating to forest fires that we want to include in any press release that goes out, we probably would want DEP to get back to us on that. So Helene, if you're still on the call and you want certain messaging, work with us on that. This next one here about water supply systems that have, are known hitters in terms of like Southington Water and Aquarian down in Greenwich. Certainly, DPH knows to keep an eye on those. That's again, a lot of these are reminders of what are already existing agency responsibilities. Reservoir storage reports, and this is an interesting one. So Steve, this last one here about verifying database accuracy for approved water haulers and so forth, licensed well drillers, I'm not sure. I can't even recall why that's in there in terms of a preparation or mitigation action. It's not coming to me right now, but I don't know if you have a comment on that.
Yeah, so the water hauler part, I believe, is us. And so the water haulers, in order for a public water system to accept water that is not theirs, that is not coming through an interconnection, they have to use, by regulation, an approved water hauler. So DPH has a list on our website, a PDF of all the approved water haulers in the state. So the other parts, I think the licensed well drillers and stuff, I think that's DCP.
Yes, it would be. Okay, so, really, stage two is incipient drought. It's the emerging stages of a drought. It's all about preparation, getting communication started, getting people engaged. That's really what a lot of these activities correspond to. So that's really where we're at for those northern counties then, and we have to collectively set aside some time to develop that messaging and get the website updated and so forth. So, we don't really have a set team that gets together like an action team, but I would ask that probably each agency designate one person that can work with Bruce and I on these things, sort of a smaller team to kind of work tightly on this, make sure that we're covering all the bases. So, Martin, I don't know if you want to ask agencies to delegate to one person in particular, or
I think that's
a better way.
I think that's the best way to do it, is to have each agency have that one person. Obviously, if you can identify now, that's great. Otherwise, by email today, back to Eric, Bruce, and I would be terrific, so we can get those designations and get those people working on that. I'm working on just draft letter now to the governor's office and everything that will, start the process, and, that we'll include all the information that this, subgroup will work on. So if anyone has, that designation now, who they want for their agency, you can speak up now and let us know, or, shoot us an email before the end of the, business day today.
So can I say that, have Eric send that out to the leads for each agency to have that person identify someone just because those people may not be on the call. I'm thinking of Lori. So I would ask that OPM reach out to those leads and have them identify someone to work with Eric and Bruce on these different preparation activities.
Sure, we can do that. Great.
So this is Brenda from the demo's perspective, and I can see Doug's smiling face right there. Since he really fills two roles, because he's a planner and he does the weather stuff, I would ask that he be our point of contact, and he can just copy Bob and I on whatever's going on, so we can provide input if we need to. Does that sound good to you, Doug?
10-4.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Doug and Brenda. Yep. Okay. Eric, you have other on the list there that need to go over, or does that cover that piece?
I think we're good as far as state agency tasks.
Okay. Obviously, I think over, between obviously later today and tomorrow that this will be being, work done and everything, with the subgroup and, for that. So we'll continue on. With that, is there other items that anyone needs to bring up or discuss? Okay. If not, we will get that email out for the lead agencies for the designation. We'll get information back. So once we've got that pulled together with the messaging and everything and information, that will go to the governor's office for announcement. Obviously, as reiterate that no messaging is to go out yet from any agency regarding this, because it needs to come from the governor's office first. So this is all internal, if you will, on this. So that's just a reminder, so that way our messaging is all on the same point and coming from the governor's office. And with that, if there's a last call, anyone have anything else?
Well, Martin, yep. I think we should probably talk about a time frame in terms of when to schedule our follow-up meeting.
Thank you. Yep, that was on the agenda here, and we kind of shipped over it.
That's okay. I'm going to suggest that we look into we want to get, I think, for our next meeting, if at all possible, some month-end data for the month of August. So I think having a meeting either the week of the 31st at the end of the week, Thursday or Friday of that week, or the following week, the week of the 7th, those would be my suggestions.
Yeah, I thought we already made a proposal for Thursday the 3rd.
Yeah, Thursday the 3rd was our next on our 2 weeks.
Okay, missed that. My apologies.
No, that's okay. It was just whether or not, unless we get severe changes of some sort that we need to, move up, and then that gets out, or unless something has to happen, obviously due to messaging or anything else, that we need to grab the group together sooner. But I think September 3rd makes, the most sense for, the next meeting.
Okay. Did we have a time in mind? The same time, 2:00? Or
I think this works, unless, someone else has a major, conflict. It seems we've been doing this time, and it seems to be, at least consecutive.
Okay. Hey, this is Nicole. I believe the Mass Drought Management Task Force meeting is that day at 1:00. I got to confirm with them, but based off of the email threads I have, I believe that their meeting's at 1:00 that day. I mean, obviously, Britt and I could, I believe Britt, if she's still on, she might be available if there was overlap. But we could definitely make it work and present, be available at both meetings.
Okay, great. Thanks, Nicole.
Anything else?
Yeah, I feel like I've taken over here. I just have one last thing, which is to identify a couple more phone numbers, one or two more phone numbers that I saw pop in. Who am I missing? I think I'm missing the, which number here?
The 860-881-3918.
Yep, I think I'm missing that one. So if we could just, whoever that is, if you could say your name. And it looks like they're muted. I don't know how to unmute them.
Well, they could also type in the chat if they their name if they can't unmute themselves.
Well, I guess we're going with an unknown. All right. That's all for me, Martin.
Okay, great. Anybody else? Terrific. Then we will, it's 3:17. I thank everyone for their time. I know it went a little over, but with stuff that we have to get done here and everything, obviously it's important that this all happens. So at 3:17, we will adjourn our meeting. And I thank you all, and we will be in touch shortly with more information. Thank you.
Good. Martin, could you just stay on at the end with me?
Sure thing.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay.
So that phone number was Linda King Corbin.
Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah. How'd you find out?
Google.
You're that fast? Wow. That's great.
I just Googled it, and it was like, all of a sudden, well, I went back and saw Linda made a, you know, second into motion. So it was kind of like, oh, wait, who was this?
Right.
So it was like, so, but.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah, we would have figured it out, but we wouldn't have known the number. But I just Googled the number, right. And that's what it showed up with. So I got it.
Great. Okay, so do you want me to send a...
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
This may be so much for taking a day off tomorrow now, but
that's one of the things I was going to suggest. So I don't know how, you know, if you want me and Bruce to work something amongst ourselves, and then we can just run whatever we come up with by you one time, so you don't have to be constantly looking back and forth.
That would be great. Okay. I started drafting. I took the letter from the last. Sorry, I was walking around because my legs get tired of standing in the same spot here, and I
that's
can't.
Okay.
So I started working up kind of a revision of last week's letter to the governor.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm starting that. You know, basically saying stage two and that identifying the northern Connecticut counties of the blah blah. But then while the rest of Connecticut means it's stage one, recommending voluntary state water. But obviously we've got to put the messaging into it. So that's just like the basic stuff. But in this letter, obviously we've got to put the messaging, whether it be, you know, sample press release. You know, that's what I really think we need to give them is, you know,
right.
Give them that. Here's the press release. Here's the thing. And that press release has in it, boom, here are the bullet points for those water conservation, everything else. I think it's great of, you know, looking at, you know, between Av Harris and Eric Scovel, you know, and Chris McClure from OPM. And whether it be, I'm trying to think, governor's office, it won't be, I'm sure, why do I just know who they just, probably might be Laura Ray, the governor's office, Anderson, you know, that's on now over there for communication.